We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from Bills Training Camp. And one of the guys who's been here at camp right from the start is not on the roster, really not on the coaching staff, but he is the Bill Walsh Minority Coaching Fellowship member on the Buffalo Bills coaching staff, former Baltimore Ravens cornerback Chris McAllister. Chris, thank you very much for coming by here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the process that got you here to this Bills camp this year.
It was a long process. Started last year, actually. Sent out a lot of emails, a lot of resumes, reached out to the coaches that I had relationships with, and ultimately that's how I ended up landing here, through Donnie Henderson.
Donnie Henderson has been here just for a couple of years, but I think most of us already know what a great job he does. You must feel like he was an important figure in your career as well.
He was. He was my coach for the first 5 years of my career out in Baltimore. Won a Super Bowl with him in 2000. And, he was the one who actually introduced me to the way the game is played at the NFL level.
What makes him such a good coach?
His attention to detail. I mean, now that I've been here on the inside, I actually get to see how he comes to his methods. I mean, he's up late night hours, he's studying, he's watches a lot of film, and he's up early in the morning. He's like one of the first people in the building, and he's able to gather all that information and give it to his players to make them better.
What we see of him out here on the practice field from time to time is how vocal he can be, and he'll whistle to get somebody's attention, and then he's right in their face. Sometimes young players need that, I would think.
I think so. I mean, I think he has a good balance of letting guys know, it's like when they mess up, it's like it needs to get corrected. And sometimes it's vocal, sometimes he just has to point, and guys kind of get it.
Was he like that with you when you were first round pick, 10th overall, coming out of Arizona? I imagine he may have ridden you a little bit that first year.
I would say these guys have got it just a little bit easier.
Oh, really?
I was like, he was way, I don't know. I think over the years, he has the same techniques in coaching. I was like, but our first encounters, like, Donnie rode me hard, but I think he only rode me just because he wanted to get the best out of me.
He told us last week when we talked to him in Pittsburgh last week that as far as, you know, yelling at players, getting after players, he tells them, don't hear the volume, hear the message. Did he do that with you too?
Yeah, definitely. It's his way of coaching. It's his style of coaching. And I think a lot of players, after you get over hearing the volume, you see the underlying message. And at the end of the day, I mean, he's one of the best coaches at getting his point across.
Chris McAllister, our guest, the Bills Minority Coaching Fellow in camp this training camp. It's a long camp. We were talking before the interview started. I mean, we're into the fifth week of camp here right now.
Yeah, it's fun coaching. I've been here. I've had a great experience. Thank Coach Marone for giving me the opportunity also. But this is the longest camp I've ever been a part of. Normally it's been like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, like when I was playing in Baltimore, but, you know, times change.
What do you do here as a fellow? I know you're working with defensive backs, but what exactly do you do?
Help with technique, more so than scheme of things, because the scheme is fairly new to me, but just try to help the guys recognize when their foot placement, their missteps may get them in trouble in their press technique, and just point out the little details.
And you're in the meetings at night with the coaching staff as well?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I'm full on in coaching mode with them, like pulling these long hours. That's how I've seen the method to Donnie's madness.
And by the end of the week, when this camp wraps up and you're finished here, I wonder if you'll miss it, the total immersion into the Buffalo Bills.
You know what? I will. I'm going to miss the guys. I've gotten close with some of the players. I'll be watching them. I've never been a Buffalo fan, but I'll be watching all their games this year just because I have had the opportunity to be a part of the staff.
We were talking with Donnie about this, how his group, and you know this group pretty well now too, the defensive backs, are young and maybe a little bit inexperienced, but it seemed very talented. There's some talent back there with guys like Gilmore and Liotis and Aaron Williams.
There are. I mean, after watching all of them this entire training camp and really having a chance to study them on tape, it's like they've done a great job of coming together as a unit. And I think with the leadership they have out there, with Aaron at the back, and then with Liotis, it's like, and you have Gilmore, like those two are playing solid when they're both healthy, and I think Liotis will be ready for the season opener. These guys could do something special. It's like, I think last year they had a great year. I was like, but I think this year they could be a lot better.
Chris, you're kind of a prototypical bigger corner. You played as a big corner, right? What's your height, weight, or when you played?
6'2", 210, 215.
And that was big. And when you came into the league in 1999, that was like almost outsized corner.
Yeah, they thought I was a safety at first.
Did they try to move you?
No, they never tried to move me. I mean, I was able to keep up with the little guys on the outside, so they left me out there.
Do you see any parallels in your size? And maybe Stephon Gilmore is not quite as big as you, but he is a kind of a bigger corner in the game these days.
I see, actually, you know, Stephon Javon has a lot of great skills, and what he has that reminds me of myself is his ability to press, his ability to stay with the guy man to man. I might be an inch taller than him, but I think we're pretty much the same size.
The ability to press, it seems, becomes more important in the game, where people kind of come around to the realization that disrupting timing is as good as running step for step with a guy downfield.
I think it's a lot better, in my opinion, because you can't touch the guys down the field anymore.
Yeah.
So the more you can disturb the timing of the route, the more the quarterback gets back there and he has to hold on to the ball, hitch, which allows your D-line to come in and make the sack.
When the corners get bigger, the receivers get bigger too. It's kind of like a chess game back and forth.
They haven't stopped growing. They're 6'5". Yeah. They've outgrown the DBs.
Well, what about that? How do you play that cat and mouse game? How do you kind of go back and forth? And at what point do we get, you know, tight ends versus linebackers out there?
You know, I have no idea. It's like, just looking at Tampa Bay that's coming up, these guys are 6'5 and 6'4". It's like, our DBs are 6'2 at best, and that might be Corey Graham is only 6 feet, so Stephon is only 6'1, so they're just gonna have to play through the hands on deep balls and have better technique.
When you teach guys, you know, the press coverage to jam at the line of scrimmage, especially with the way the game's being officiated now, it seems like there's a fine line. You got to know where the 5 yards are, but you also got to know what's grabbing at the line of scrimmage, right?
Yeah, I believe the holding calls are going to be – they're going to be a ton of flags thrown this year, because guys, it's their a nature to be aggressive as corners, especially when they're pressing. So you guys got to have good targets. You can't aim for the head. You got to aim for the shoulders. Keep your eye on his waist. Figure out which way he's going. And then when you shoot your hands, just try to keep them, you know, out of the foul zone.
Can smaller guys jam effectively, press coverage effectively too?
Yeah. I mean, I believe any corner – that's patient enough could jam any size receiver. It doesn't matter on the size.
How does patience play into it?
You have to not try to jump routes, but anticipate. Like, don't guess where he's going and don't lunge. It's like, you want to stay on your feet, stay square, keep the weight, you know, on the balls of your feet.
What about the role for smaller cornerbacks in this league? You know, Leotis McKelvin is not real big. Nickell Roby is small. What role can those guys play in an overall mix of a defensive backfield?
Well, I think Leotis actually has pretty good size. I think Roby, as a smaller guy in the nickel, his feet are lightning quick. So it allows him to stay, you know, with the receivers in the slots, because he has to run back and forth across the field. Now, Leotis, he's a little in weight. As far as weight, he's a little bit small. I mean, 185 pounds, maybe 190. But he's strong, he's physical, and he does just as well. Him and Gilmore do a great job of pressing guys at the line of scrimmage.
Talking with Chris McAllister. He is the Bills' Bill Walsh Minority Coaching Fellow in camp for the rest of this week. I want to talk a little bit about your playing career. You came in as a first-round draft pick to a Baltimore Ravens team that was really on the ascend. Did you know when you went there in 99 that things were trending upwards for that team?
Actually, no, I didn't. I didn't even know that Baltimore – they weren't even on my radar.
Really?
I mean, at the time, I was a huge – football fan, you know, being in college, but I was more into college football than NFL. It's kind of, you know, I just kind of actually, you know, things worked out great where I got picked by a great organization.
You went to a great defense, a legendary great defense that 2000 season.
Yeah, after I got there, I realized all the pieces that they had put in place before I had got there, you know, with their drafting Ray and Jonathan and then building on that. You know, Ozzie Newsome did a great job with the rest of the staff there assembling great talent. And when I got there, we were 8-8, and we knew at that time that we were going to be better the next year. I just kind of, you know, I've come from a background of always competing and always wanting to win, and it seemed like I joined a group of guys that had the same mentality.
People talk a lot about Ray Lewis. Can you give us your thoughts on what he brought to that team, not just on the field and the way he played, but his attitude, his demeanor?
I mean, I think the one thing that he brought to this team, and the one thing that always, as long as his entire career was there, he's always brought it, is at practice, he made you play like game. He made you play at a game tempo, a game speed. He will always lead by vocal leader and lead by example. I think the way that he pushed all of his teammates to practice made him better on games.
You don't wear your Super Bowl ring, at least not out here to practice. What was that experience like to win the Super Bowl?
I thought it was amazing. It was the best sports moment of my entire life. There's nothing better than walking out victorious on Super Bowl Sunday.
I want to ask you about one play in particular, and I think it was a couple of years after that. Missed field goal, Monday Night Football, 107-yard return for a touchdown. Yeah. You get asked about that play, I'm sure, quite a bit. It's been since beaten. At the time, it was the longest scoring play in NFL history, longest play in NFL history. Yeah. What was that like? What do you remember about that?
I can remember everything like it was yesterday. The coach called out the field goal block return, just in case it was short, and the kick came up short. The whole idea was we knew that Ray was, since he was the middle safety on the play, we knew that he would be the first one screaming back. I was instructed to catch the ball and like walk like I wasn't going to return, to try to let the rest of our guys peel back to set up the wall. It was always going to be a return to our sideline. And I started running, and when Ray got close enough, I started running. He waved his hand. He took out the first guy, and the rest was history.
So you had a return on for a field goal. Is that rare?
It was a field goal return. It's like, yeah, we only practice it just in case someone tries a 55, 60-yard field goal, and it might not get there if it's a bad kick. And, you know, we were just in the right situation, you know, at the right time.
Who was the special teams coach? Was that Harbaugh?
I don't remember.
I don't know who that was. I mean, that's pretty good.
I don't think it was Harbaugh, though. No. He didn't come until my ninth year.
How often do teams practice that? Do you see it out here in the special teams period?
I haven't seen it out here, and I don't even think by now, I mean, because it's done so commonly, I think you just tell a guy, go back there. If you know the kicker's going to have a hard time with a 60-yard field goal, 55, something at the end of their range, just send a guy back there.
Pretty amazing play. Chris, you wrap up your stint here with the Bills this week. What's next for you? Are you going to continue to look for coaching jobs and maybe find a coaching job somewhere?
Yeah, coaching is what I want to do. It's my next career, definitely. Being out here for these 6 weeks has just verified that in my own beliefs. I mean, I love football. Like, that's what it really boils down to, and there's no place I'd rather be than coaching somewhere with somebody.
You mentioned how you follow Coach Henderson around, and you see the long hours and the kind of drudgery of watching video over and over and over again. You're all on board with that?
I'm all aboard. It's like, you get to sleep on your weekends.
Maybe.
You sleep before the game a little bit. Yeah. I was like, but, you know, it's like I don't have a problem with the days don't seem that long when you're doing what you love to do. Now, if I was working someplace that I didn't enjoy or didn't love, then I would complain about those hours. But when you're coaching football, it doesn't seem like a job. Like, it's an art. It's just something that when you love it, it's like you can do nonstop.
We wish you well. Thank you for coming on the show, and thanks for being around Bills Camp this week.
Thanks for having me.
Chris McAllister, former Baltimore Ravens cornerback, won a Super Bowl with the Ravens in 2000. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Bills Training Camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.